back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
We are back 4 minutes after 11 o'clock, our Mellow Joy Coffee Time, 367-1240, our phone number if you want to be a part of the show. Our pleasure to welcome back to the show New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt. How are you, sir?
I am fine, sir. Good to be here.
Once again, normally joins us the Thursdays following City Council meetings, but because of schedule conflicts, he is with us today, but happy to have you here today.
And good.
I know since we last spoke, you had a chance to, well, not ring the bell yet, but I'm fascinated by the device that apparently rings the bell and you can control it with your phone at some point.
Yeah, and program it and all kind of stuff. It's going to be neat. Yeah, setting the bell, we did that last Tuesday. It actually came with a striker, which weighs about 70 pounds. And we had to take it out because I had gotten with the insurance company prior to doing this, okay? The bell can't rock. That's why we paid the money for the electronic striker, which is mounted on the outside. And I well knew that I was pretty much going to have to either immobilize the striker or take it off, okay? So we set the bell. It had the original striker in it. We rang it twice just so we could hear it. It's really cool. And then I crawled under there and took the striker out. Because we can't have that. There's been some incidents with people with these replica Liberty Bells, especially of kids getting their hands crushed. And actually, a veteran that we had quite a few veterans watching us the whole morning as we set it all up. And they were telling me that one of them had gone on a field trip with some kids in Baton Rouge, where there is the other replica Liberty Bell here in the state. And the kids were playing a game where they put their hand under it, and the kid would go to the other side and swing the pendulum, and, you know, they had to move their hand out the way. I mean, this thing would crush a kid's hand. So that's one of the reasons we got the external striker. So the striker that hung down had to come out. That's an insurance requirement. The bell is locked in place so that it doesn't rock. Okay, so you can't – it weighs 4,000 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the momentum going, you're going to break an arm, a leg, something. So that's all been done so that it can't hurt anybody. And then the cool thing about the striker is when the visitor center is done, as you know, we're doing in the bathroom, the conduit has been run partially, and they'll run the conduit the rest of the way. They'll put a little control panel in there. You can, the bell can ring different little themes, different little, you can program all of that. You can have an app on the phone and ring it. So once we figure all that out, like I want the veterans to be able to ring it at their events. I think that would really be cool. They walk now and go to this little small bell. We're going to have a discussion. The impromptu little memorial that's kind of closer to the gazebo, that kind of needs to go because now we've put all those names on the big veterans memorial. So what I'm hoping we do is move that little bell because we won't need it and clean up where the little kind of impromptu memorial that has one granite. And there's actually a building plaque from a off of a building that had some veterans' names. There, it's kind of become a little jumbled corner. We kind of have plans for that area. But, yeah, the striker's going to be cool. I can't wait to – we hooked it all up. Haven't tried it yet. We'll wait for the electrician. But that's going to be neat. That's going to be something really cool. Like, I'd like the bell to ring every day at lunch. I think if it rang every day at 12 o'clock, just one little, you know, one ding at 12 o'clock would be kind of fun. And then, again, I'm hoping that the veterans will be able to, you know, have an app for that and use it for the Veterans Memorial, you know, the various, you know, events that they have. So I'm excited. It looks really good in the space.
It does.
The whole memorial now is, you know, a class act. I mean, that's basically what I drew. We didn't know what the centerpiece would be, but I had a loud space for one, and so the bell just fit the bill. I mean, it's a really good choice, I think, and represents, you know, our whole country, represents what we stand for. And just really fills the space pretty well.
Yeah, it was an attraction this weekend for the gumbo cook-off.
That's
awesome. For sure.
That's what people need to, you know. And people come from all over. There isn't another one. There's one on the Capitol grounds that nobody really knows about. But to have that in the center of our town, and the visitor center's coming, as you can see, that's well underway. Now people are calling me and saying, I see what you were talking about. Because when I told people I was going to make a bathroom into some kind of veteran center and open it all up, nobody had a clue. And I had a call this morning from someone who said, man, you can take some junk and turn it into something. Because, and this is a guy that knows I play with old cars and do building restorations. I said, well, that's all I've ever done. But now people are starting to realize, you know, how neat it's going to be. The other thing I figured out, which is really cool, you could take a few city barricades. You could barricade from the new visitor center to the Steamboat Pavilion. Okay, now you could do ticketed events without a bunch of fences, without all kind of stuff. And when you come through the visitor center, you're in the space. We're going to make all of the kiosks and displays movable. So you could roll them out of the way, even kind of figure what corners they would go in. And then you come up some internal steps because it's at two different levels. So it really makes a really cool gateway, like to be heading to the Steamboat Pavilion for some kind of event.
No, yeah.
So that's something I think that could be neat. But the Bell certainly is in a good spot. And then the next thing you're going to see toward the end of the year, I have all the forms ready, and we're going to pour the base for the James Lee Burke sculpture. That's going to go next to the gazebo. We don't have all the money, but I think if we pour the base and put a sign up that we are raising money, it'll raise some awareness. And his publicist and I think some, you know, bigger people are getting involved, and I think they're going to be able to send us some big checks. We've already gotten, you know, $10,000 or $12,000, but we got a ways to go on that. But I think I'd like to pour the base and put the sign up, you know, coming soon, help bring James Lee Burke back to New Iberia, kind of thing. So all that little area is really getting hopped up. And then I got some paperwork today on Felicity's Landing, which will occur in the back, which gives us a good entrance into the bayou and exit out. So I'm getting pumped that whole little area is coming to life. I saw people taking pictures at the New Iberia Letters, which is kind of neat. So it's, we're getting there.
There you go.
A little bit at a time.
Got a caller on the line.
Oh, good.
We'll see if it's a question for the mayor. Hi, you're in the air.
Hey, Freddie, Mayor and Jeff.
Hey.
I enjoyed the setup with the Bell Memorial and everything. It was really nice. Wheelchair accessible.
Yes, sir.
But the Bullinney Plaza, if you park your car in there and you try to go across the street on Main Street, you got to go to that corner or the other corner. You just can't go straight across and get up there. There's no wheelchair access. And back to Bullinney Plaza, the only way to get there with the wheelchair is from the walkway behind the parking lot from the front or way down the parking lot in the back to get up in there. And to get to the bathrooms, no wheelchair accessibility when they're open. Didn't have it before. So will that be put into the mix?
I'm trying. We are looking at doing more to head toward that area in this phase of making the visitor center. There'll be only one little small bathroom, but we're building it handicapped because we didn't have any handicapped bathrooms before. So we are addressing it there. Another little safety feature doesn't help with the wheelchair, but all of those stairs don't have handrails. And because you have two right behind the gazebo, you have a set of stairs. Then you go by the flagpoles, you have another set of stairs. And I watch the veterans do all of their events there and all these people walking back and forth. So in this phase of the visitor center, I also added handrails on all those stairs because somebody's going to fall. So I'm working on that. And then we are looking by the Steamboat warehouse at the front, where I might take out, we're still planning that, but where we put the New Iberia Letters, there's some big steel bollards and a rail that's really there for no reason. I'm thinking about taking that out and trying to figure a way I could put a sidewalk that would get you to the Main Street sidewalk and get you back to the plaza area that way. And when we do that, we're going to try to make that handicap accessible.
Well, it sounds good, and it looks
so
great so far.
It's a start, but I mean, we got a ways to go. I realize.
Oh,
that.
It's better than a start. I mean, I come to New Iberia seldom now, and it's a different town every time I come. It's like, wow, we're growing fast.
We're trying. We got a long way to go, though. I'm not letting off the gas.
Well, just keep it up, sir.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. 367-1240. If you do have a question or comment, don't hesitate to give us a call. Since we're talking about projects downtown, I do get questions, and you just answered it. So there will be a bathroom component.
There'll be one bathroom. Now, in the ultimate scheme of things, we have a bathroom designed. You go behind the Steamboat Pavilion in that parking area.
Yeah.
We would do a bathroom there, big bathroom, you know, men's and women's, nice bathroom, with a stage on top. So what you would do is now double the size of the Steamboat Pavilion, because I think the stage is too big in the Steamboat Pavilion. You set up that big stage. I know bands want a lot of room, but you set those big stages up and you kill almost half the space. So the new concept is to put a bathroom there that will replace the bathrooms, but something that we can manage better, something that's handicap accessible, something that's easier to clean, easier to lock when we want it locked, or easier to open when we want it open, just not quite set up like it was. And then on the roof of that would actually be the stage, and what you do is picture those black handrails that run around all of the Steamboat Pavilion now. You'd have a bridge, basically, to over the restroom, so the bands would set up there. And it would have a cover on it. And so now the Steamboat Pavilion can hold twice as many people. So that's the ultimate goal. We have some sketches done. We are sending that in for grant opportunities. We actually have it. We took $60,000 or $70,000, turned it into $360,000 to do Felicity's Landing. Took the $360,000 we got from the state with Felicity's Landing, sent in a grant that we're waiting to hear about, this $1.5 million. Because we're using the match of the money we got that we haven't even spent yet to match that and the appraisal for the land. So what could happen is that's my first try to fund the new bathrooms. We have it down as a American Rescue Plan project, but we're not sure it's going to get approved. Some of the kind of creative ideas that I had in the parks will work in the parks where the demographics works for who the ARP program is trying to help. But it won't work everywhere.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out, okay, maybe I stretched it too far, that the demographic of that area of town is just not right for me to spend the money. So I'm going to let them tell me no, but I do have that as a potential project. So I'm not going to give up. In other words, we plan on adding a bathroom component, but I want to get my bang for the buck, our bang for the buck. And to do that, I think doing the bathrooms there with a stage on top would really be cool.
Gotcha. How about, since we're talking about projects, updates on Road Rig and behind it?
Yes. If you go look, city crews are back there doing some sloping and adjusting the site. The marina is almost finished. The contractor will come back when our dirt work is finished and when the concrete is poured. The concrete for the back part of all Road Rig parking lot is probably, I'd say, a month away, but they're working on that hot and heavy. They'll finish their work. The contractor will finish his work. We'll do the dirt work, and a lot of it we're doing now. We also realize we need to put some drainage in because I don't want that water flying off the parking lot and washing over the bulkhead into the boats that are down there. So you'll see some subsurface drainage go in, and that's part of the city's match. And then once all that's finished, we're going to bid out, and I hope to bid it out. We're going to bid out the sidewalks, which will replace the boardwalk. If the bids come back too high, well, then Public Works will have to build it. But what's been happening is, you know, all these grant matches have kind of come back to back to back. Public Works is humping it. I'm very proud of them. They are doing a great job with a lot of matches and a lot of work all over the place. You might have seen they were in City Park by the boat landing. They took some riprap from along the bank, and then they added some dirt. That's a new project where we're going to line the bank of the bayou at the park with Louisiana irises. And kind of start our own little iris trail instead of like the azalea trail. We want to do something from the water. And we're doing that in conjunction with some universities that are helping and a group that's a society for irises and Louisiana irises here in the state. And so we've gotten some help with that. Peter Patu's been a big part of getting those people here. And so that's a little project that Public Works has been instrumental in getting all that riprap out of there. On the other side of the park, they're cleaning up where we're going to be doing a little nature trail in an area of the park that's never been developed, closer to the Peary Street side, right as you enter in the park off of Marie. So they're busy digging, doing, hauling, stuff all over, but the marina is well underway. I would say it itself is almost done. The electricians have to come and put a little bit of lighting in. So over the next few months, that one will be finished because it's not going to be long. We'll start the next one.
Gotcha. The Surrett Alley, that's going to probably stay closed until that's complete?
Yeah, because they're probably a month or a month and a half away from pouring their slab. Once they get the slab poured for the museum addition, then all that steel that's stacked up in the parking lot, they'll start erecting all that steel. And between the steel and the joists and the roof system and all those sheets, I mean, it's just too dangerous to open that up. So that will remain closed probably another 3 or 4 months.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That long?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That it will.
I'm eyeballing him right now.
I'm telling you the truth.
No, it's a minor inconvenience, I always like to think they pay dividends at some point.
No, they do. I mean, it helped build a park. It's helping build a museum. And you see, the next phase of the museum is all interior. So we won't have that again. In other words, this is a huge addition in the middle of a congested part of downtown. So there really wasn't another choice. I mean, we could open it up for a week it's not worth it. By the time they demobilize all the equipment and do everything, and, you know, we're just really concerned with the concrete trucks, with the dirt work that's occurred, with, you know, when they start setting steel. The safest thing is just to leave it closed and get the project over with.
Gotcha. The South Lewis Street work, that's beginning next week.
Yeah, boy, that's going to be a trip. That has to be the most expensive block the city of New Iberia will probably ever do, but we thought it was important. My council thought it was important. The businesses around there that we have helped to attract are really thankful for this. So that's a one-month project. Will be a giant inconvenience for a month, maybe a month and a half with the weather. But
doing one lane at a time?
Yes, doing one lane at a time, blocking off where you can't shortcut through the neighborhoods, because we're very concerned about that. From the back of College Park, you know, people would come in.
Which happened one time as well. I'm trying to remember.
Big problem. Yeah. Last time there was some construction. So we're cognizant of that and trying to work around that. But it's not a long-term project. In one way, it kind of warms people up for the road project that I'm so excited about. The engineers have done all their presentations. We floated the bond. We got a 2% interest rate. We used to have a 4% interest rate, got to refinance. All that's in place. The project will probably bid in February. So I think the bigger, big road program will start sometimes in, I'd say, May.
Have you settled on the final street selection?
Pretty much what they presented. The council worked through. We added a few streets, made a few changes from their recommendations, and I think we're good. So that's phase one. I am still working on, and I'm excited about it. It's going to take me about a year, but I'm bringing something to the community of a permanent road program probably in a year. I would say when our road program is winding down, when we're finishing spending the $12.5 million, the timing's going to work to come back and say, okay, don't make a stop. So I'm very hopeful of that. I mean, that's the biggest problem I see in the future, is that those 10 to 12-year gaps of I got to chew what I bit off, which means I got to pay the note, pay the bond back before I can do it again. That's what's killing us.
Yeah.
So excited about that. But this is – and 12.5 is probably the biggest road program. I think last time they had funded it, it was like $8 million. So we've got a lot to do.
There you go. The meeting on a week ago Tuesday did approve the budget.
Yes, we did, which is very good, because it's a healthy budget, more equipment, more projects, more infrastructure repairs, I think a good solid budget.
Talk to us about the Iberia Street Pavement Preservation Bike Lane Improvement Project.
That's a project that when I whined and moaned, and could use some other words I shouldn't, to the state, to DOTD and MPO in Lafayette, to get my frontage road. That's some property sitting there that I could incentivize and that we could get some businesses. Have had big interest. Can do incentives on our property like nobody's business, better than any community, better than any incentive they got in Lafayette. But I need the frontage road. So whining about the frontage road and then talking to MPO and saying I pay $17,000 or $18,000 a year to be a member, what's my return? You know, maybe I should just quit. Well, they came up and said, we're going to do this project. I said, well, I really wish you would do Bank Street instead of Iberia Street. But they said, no, we're doing Iberia Street.
Being a park down Bank Street.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, okay, well, it's better than nothing. I'll take it. I'm not going to refuse $1 million. So that project is coming. It's in the works. I don't know when it's going to come. That's all up to, as fast as out of my control. But it doesn't cost us anything. Matter of fact, I met with the engineers yesterday, and we labeled every state road through town, because we have not addressed those in our road program, and there's some grant opportunities. We don't know what we're going to get, but we identified a bunch of them yesterday, and the engineers are helping us with the paperwork, and they will submit that, and maybe I get some more state money, which really comes from the feds down to the state to us, to do some more roads. But that's a road that's going to come. I don't know when.
As far as the bike lane aspect of it, are you familiar with the design?
I haven't seen the design yet.
Okay.
I can tell you that I asked for anything they came. At one time, they were going to do it, and I don't know where this project is. They were going to do a turning lane on South Lewis and eliminate a lane. It would be three lanes with a turning lane. Well, then I said, okay, then you got enough room to put me a bike path. They said, you know, we would. Hopkins Street, which has been going on since the last administration and the road swap, they need to come do some drainage to get to the Bayou Test from Hopkins Street, which would really help that area, and then resurface Hopkins Street with a deal that's been made. Where that project is, I don't know. They'd put a bike lane there. So anytime DOTD, MPO, any of these groups come to town, I push for a bike lane any way I can get it. And normally, because it fits with their agenda, I guess you could say, they try to accommodate it. But we ask for some, and it might be kind of like a shared bike lane like we have on Main Street that is, you know, where it's just marked. But I'll take anything I can get.
Gotcha. Those markings need some updates,
too. We've been looking at that. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if I can. We don't have any kind of striping machine. We don't really like the liability of striping. We would hire somebody to do that. Same thing with the road program. Like, we won't stripe the new streets. It will be done in the road program. So I'm already looking that I would like to find somebody to get me a quote to restripe that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know they're standing right next to each other, would you?
No. And almost every show that I do, you know, I'm sure they hear every day.
There you go. City council meeting. A couple other highlights from that. Bilal Morton, adding him to the port commission.
Yeah, what a nice kid. He's got a really good resume. You know, got a degree from college. I think he went to Votech first, then he went to college. He's got a good business head. He works for Amazon, 30 years old, wanting to get involved. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I have been having some meetings with some kind of younger people and just really trying to get them motivated to get involved and bring some new perspectives to things. And he was very interested in serving on the Port Commission, so we put him on, and we had made a new little kind of quasi-rule that anybody we appoint needs to come to the meeting. So everybody can meet him and see him. So that was the first time that we really did that. And nice young man. I think he's going to do well for us.
How many appointees does the city have?
I only have two.
Okay, because it seems two were recently reappointed.
We were, and then Smitty's job takes him out of town. I just re-upped Smitty. Oh, I love me some Smitty, but his work takes him out of town too much, and he was just kind of like, you know, I'm just not here enough. I need to get off of it and let somebody else get on. And so when he resigned, Bly will replace him.
Okay. So it's a full 6-year term, or is it the remainder of?
I think I just start over, to tell you the truth. Okay. I think I just start over and
that's probably not a bad idea, you're not having to do two at a time,
right,
you know?
Right, yeah, and they're staggered. Anything we do, we try to stagger people, and that we always have some knowledge on there. And, you know, I just ask them to give me some reports back and let me know what's going on.
There you go. Drainage improvements in and around Evangeline Caroline Street?
Yes, we have quite a few little drainage contracts we're letting. We're going to have some more at the next meeting. This is not ARPA money. This is money from my drainage fund that we get from the parish after they finish spending the money
tax,
on mosquito tax. Okay, so we're using that money, Jefferson Terrace, the next phase of that. We have a whole bunch of areas around, like you said, Caroline and Weldon. And, of course, now we're actually doing a little amendment and going toward Lewis Street at Weldon and Lewis and trying to add that corner in. We might have a engineering solution, that we could help move a little more water along on that corner. So all those little drainage projects that we talked about are all things that have been in the works. What we're banking on or hoping, we're going to take $1 million of the ARP funding, set it aside, and in January, February, they're coming out with a $5 million grant that you have to come up with a match. So we would take the ARP money to match this other money, and we'd turn $1 million into $5 million, and it just has a ton of drainage projects. Some of it, we're not. I said in the paper, I'm fighting for an inch. Some of it, we're not even sure how much it will really do, and neither is the engineers, because we all know we're flat. It all has to go out to the canals that go out in the parish, that go out into the bay. You know, some of that is tidal. Some of that, we don't know what we're going to do. But on the flip side, you got to try. And most of these businesses that are flooding really flood from the wake. If we could get down an inch or so, you know, maybe they wouldn't flood at all. So, and it doesn't matter if you get an inch of water in your building or a foot, you know, you're still pretty well. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
You got to go through all the same motions to repair everything. So that's an area that's overdue. Some of it is not that we were just waiting or being negligent. Some of it we didn't know what to do. Some of it we prioritized the big project on Jefferson Terrace, took a lot of the drainage money, but now there was only one more phase of that. So we're trying. We're trying to hit as many areas as we can and hit the ones that are the worst and that water's going to people's homes or businesses. You know, that has to be the top priority.
Understood. A lot of time spent on demolition issues, including one particular case.
And oh, yeah.
This is a guy who, between the city council and the parish council, often has to defend his property.
He does. He does. But he puts himself in those positions to have to defend his property. And he owns a lot of property. I'm happy for him, but I just wish he would
maintain it.
Maintain it and not infringe on the neighbors. No, it's not about him. He makes it all about him, and I let him. It's fine. You know, some people ask me why I let everybody go on so long. But, you know, I kind of like to record all of that. I kind of like to say, okay, let's put on record. Let's get everything out there and let's talk about it. Because what we're doing here is protecting the neighboring properties. And that's what everybody gets hung up who comes there. It's all about me. It's all about, you know, it's never about what's happening to the neighborhood, what's happening to the buildings that are surrounded, what's happening to the people that have to live with this. It's always about them. But it's okay. You know, we'll deal with it. And unfortunately, I think that we will see this gentleman again. There are some other houses on the list. There are some kind of repeat people that just think owning something's good enough and there's no responsibility past owning it. It could be junk cars. It could be junk property. It could be commercial, residential. I mean, we're here to make a difference. I'm trying to take $1 million of the ARP money, okay, and say, all right, blight remediation. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
We know that to spend $100,000 a year, it is a concerted effort, and we almost don't ever do it. Between the public notifications, between Jimmy's work, between Jeff's work with the legal, and to do all the right notifications, to get the asbestos testing, to bid it out, we're barely spending. We had been spending $30,000 and $40,000 a year, and I'm trying to up the game to $100,000. Now I have lost my mind with $1 million, but if I'm allowed to do that, and we have to find out. It's a new way to look at it. Some of the park stuff, they told me, no, you can't do it. Doesn't meet the demographic. It's not part of what ARP is trying to accomplish. But blighted property and community uplifting and working in disadvantaged areas or, you know, underserved communities or, you know, people that are below the poverty line in those districts, that's what this money's for. So my new attitude is, well, man, well, let's just clean it up. So I'm actually looking into if I can hire a crew that runs around, like, separate and apart from public works. Hire somebody we can direct with a couple of workers and a truck and some equipment and say, all right, you want to go clean it up? Watch this. So we are looking at, it's in its early stages. My clerk, who's been wonderful on this and many other projects, Aaron, I'm always saying we're a little city with big city problems. So now what we're doing is getting copies of the ARP proposals for, like, Detroit, for big cities that, you know, Chicago, big cities that have areas that they have, you know, the same issues we have multiplied by 100. Detroit had some really cool stuff. So I'm trying to lift from some of those and say, okay, you want to get aggressive? Watch this. To flesh that out, because blighted property is not going anywhere. We have hundreds and hundreds of adjudicated properties where people have given up. But in and apart from that, we have hundreds and hundreds of properties where people own them, maybe pay the taxes, but they don't do anything else. So that's something we have to step our game up. We have to clean our town up. I mean, I realize that. It's easier to say than it is to do, but we are working, hopefully, that this ARPA money will give us a big shot in the arm. If not, I'll just keep going my $100,000 a year, and I don't plan on backing up. I mean, we've come up with a shorter version. We think we'll be shorter. Everybody's used to it. 1, 2, and 3, that you pick, you know, 1 is you demo immediately, 2 is you give them 30 days, and if they don't demo it in 30 days, it doesn't have to come back to us. Then it's just demoed. And 3 is some extenuating circumstance or some reason, or that they come to the meeting and say, you know, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do, here's my plan. I'm going to do boom, boom, boom. What we really want is people to fix their own property. Well, we're not spending this money.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I do think we have to be more aggressive with it, and I do think that the problems aren't going to fix themselves, and some of these people, property owners, it's obvious they're not going to do anything. you know, come and be mad, come and blame people, come and talk about the past one that they didn't do anything about. Well, you know, I'm ready for all of that. My attitude is, you know, just keep them coming. But if we don't keep the pressure on, it is obvious that there are some people that just will never do anything. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that. It makes for some long meetings. It makes for some finger pointing. I'll just keep the council moving. We all get along. We're all on the same page. We're united on this. You don't see anybody biting each other. You just have to kind of let people express themselves, and then we handle our business.
There you go.
That's all we can do.
Meant to bring this up earlier when we were talking about projects. Positively, Iberia brought up the Little Brooklyn Neighborhood Park project there.
Yes. That's going good. We actually are buying the piece of adjudicated property next to the park, which is going to extend the park. I am waiting on Civic Source. They're not really fast. 4 years ago, I wanted to buy a piece on across the street from Bank Park to do some additional parking, and I got the paperwork on it yesterday. Okay, So they're not moving very quick.
I'm confused about having to buy adjudicated property.
Well, it ends up that the taxes are owed, so I want to pay the taxes, and then I have to, you know, it's got to go back sometime. It's city taxes and parish taxes, so I got to clean that up. The other thing is it costs money for Civic Source to free up the title, to get the title insurance. Remember, they own their own title company. They're a monopoly, but they're the only game in town. No one else would write the title on any of this. So you might pay $2,500 for them to write the title. And the legal research, they have to still notify all the heirs. They still have to find them all. There's still a lot of work to be done. And then they get to a point that the title's never going to get cleared up. Through their magic, they end up writing insurance policy on the title. So it works, but all that costs money. So a lot that I just say, hey, we're going to keep it. It's adjudicated to the city. It's going to cost $4,000 or $5,000 by the time you're done.
Gotcha.
But we are in the process of adding on to the park. Dustin used part of his $100,000. Remember, each council person had gotten $100,000
right.
In their district. The plans are about finished. I think we'll bid that out in the next few weeks. It's a 30 by 20 pavilion that's going to be added in the park, which I think is going to really be nice. So we're looking at some other improvements.
So it's an addition to the current park.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Now, besides that project, there is another project in Little Brooklyn, which is a corner building that it's a CMU block building on Henry Street. It's been empty for my whole life, it seems like, but not quite. But it's been empty for a very long time. That building, the property owners want to donate it to the city, and that would be the little bus stop Brooklyn little neighborhood park, another little park. But basically, the streets are too skinny for the buses to go down the streets and turn around. So all the kids have to walk up to Henry Street. So it would serve as a bus stop and also be like a little neighborhood park and clean up a very blighted large piece of property. So we have that in capital outlay. We are asking for that from the state. We'll wait and see what happens.
Very good. Halloween's coming up, and you can tell downtown and all along Main Street, folks are participating as requested.
As requested, and I can't thank them enough because we have our first Halloween parade. We dye the fountain the Saturday before Halloween at 2 o'clock, and then we roll the parade. The parade seems to be getting a little bigger. We're excited about that, and should be fun. But merchants are involved. Community people are involved. Teresa Coutois hanging stuff left and right and just working.
Is that her handiwork?
She's been doing a lot of that along with some other volunteers. But people are just
people keep throwing bags of garbage out, though.
But people are stepping up. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that this is something we can build on. It, you know, and we should be past COVID and all of that. I'm not worried about it. But next year, if it goes well this year and there is good community participation, which I'm already seeing, then the next year we turn into kind of an all-day thing. We do the parade. Then we get some bands. We just kind of backed off at this first year and said, let's not bite off too much.
And considering COVID is still an issue.
Yeah,
and going back 2 months ago, I mean, things were looking really bad.
It was really looking bad. We took a chance and said, we're going to see this through, as did Gumbo Cook-Off. But, yeah, a couple of months ago. And that's the one thing I want to clear up. I don't make decisions for any other group to cancel anything. Because, you know, they will smoke me on Facebook all day long. I've been seeing them. Well, how can he have the Halloween parade when he canceled the Sugarcane Festival? Well, I don't have anything to do with that. People need to understand that, like, the Christmas parade, the Gumbo Cook-Off, the Sugarcane Festival, that's all entities. That is all not city government. The one thing that we're doing is the Halloween parade, and it's rolling. We're not canceling it. It's rolling. But we did say let's go this first year and not get too crazy with it. But it's good to see things coming back. It's good to see that we are getting back to normal, and, you know, that's what we got to do, be a city.
Anything else going on you want to update, any projects, just, economic development issues?
Just busy, you know. Arby's pulled their permit, and they're working at the old Captain D's. People are in the building at the old stage where it's going to become the Aldi's. You know, all those things. It just takes a while, but, I mean, those things are happening. We're writing some new grants right now and looking for some projects, just sitting in capital outlay, a new park on Ann Street that has no park, no city property on it. We've been negotiating with some property owners. That's in capital outlay. The little Brooklyn park that we spoke about. We're trying to sprinkle the Sear Gates building, which would up my occupancy and help me when it's a shelter. And then we have some more improvements we're trying to do at West End Park. We're waiting on the bids to come back. Won't be long, I think, another month or two on the roofs of the two gyms. Then I can see how much money we have left to go inside. We're negotiating a change order to finish out the inside of the training center, which is where in the Cliff Oakwin building. If you ride by and see, all the new roof is about 95%. It doesn't leak anymore. They have a little trim work left. But once that roof's done, we've been waiting on that to get inside that building in the area that used to be 911. To make our city training center. Those bids are coming back. You know, we're just busy. A lot of these things have taken a little while to get going, but, you know, the visitor center is well underway and just working through all these projects. And, you know, I don't want to run out, so we're constantly trying to load the gun again.
All right. Normally we get you right after a council meeting. Sir. Now we're getting you just before a council meeting.
It'll only be two times.
Anything on the agenda of note that you can think of coming up on Tuesday?
The biggest thing on Tuesday, I'll bring a letter from each choice to be the demographer for our census.
Sure.
And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that and closing polling places and all that. So that's going to be some good discussion, and we will select a demographer so that we can.
How many are there out there?
Well, I have two. We have a choice of two.
Gotcha.
Okay, there's not very many. So that'll be coming. That's a big one. We have another engineering project. Each council person that Dale Street runs through has put up $50,000 to go towards some sidewalks. We'll be hiring Chandler Staples to handle that with all of the $100,000 projects, because many of them are small. Sometimes the fee's $1,000. But we'll have a resolution that lets me sign with professionals because – there's playground equipment, there's park improvements, there's a walking trail, there's the pavilion that we just talked about in the existing park, Little Brooklyn Park. There's a ton of little small projects that I do need some professional services, so there'll be a resolution that I can just negotiate for each one of those little projects so that we can get moving faster. West End Park, there's a bunch of improvements at the kitchen and one of the public meeting rooms that people rent. So all of those I need to get moving. So there'll be a resolution on that to clear me to get those moving and bid. I'm trying to think of what else. Of course, I'm sure there'll be some property revision. No, that's in December. We might talk about some, I'm not sure if that's this agenda or the next one, of some possible teardowns just to get people moving. I think there's a discussion. Marlo put a discussion item to talk about the raises in the CLECO rates.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. I have been negotiating.
In fact, isn't the franchise agreement with CLECO coming up?
That could be as long as 2 years away, but it might be next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, remember that, we don't adjust any fees. I can't do that in a franchise agreement.
Yeah.
That is all public service commissioner. We will have the beginnings of a franchise agreement for Loco. We are working. We've been negotiating for a while, but there's going to be something on the next agenda, whether it's going to be the final version or not, but something, either a stopgap measure or a new agreement. I'll know that on Tuesday. So that's something else that's coming. I'm trying to think of what else. It's a pretty long agenda. There was another discussion item, and, man, I can't, for the life of me, I can't think of what it is.
I don't worry about
anyway,
it.
Anyway, but that's more than I normally know because usually the week prior, you know. And this will happen one more time. I have one more conflict, so I'll be coming before a council meeting again in a couple of weeks. And then after that, I'll get back to my regularly scheduled program.
And we appreciate the effort. Appreciate you coming by as always. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you.